Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother Dave, and welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come together to share the wisdom and knowledge of God. And I'm looking forward to the day when we open up the lines so that we can exchange the knowledge and wisdom that God has imparted upon you to share with me as I attempt to share it with you. Let us go in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. We uplift your name. We praise your name. We thank you because all you've done for us, we just want to give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, as I get ready to share the word, and as you showed me this morning in my prayers to feed the sheep, Father God, and we're just sheep out here, Father God, trying to receive your knowledge. We want to share that knowledge with each other. So, Father, again, let me decrease and you increase. Let the Holy Spirit upon those under my voice, Father God, your word, your message, your good news. For we praise and honor you, Father God, that we know with you all things are possible, and we believe in the possibility of you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we're going to wrap up that series on developing that authentic relationship with self, God, and others. By being transformed by the renewing of our mind, our heart, and spirit. Now, I want to stop for a minute and just kind of go into this term authentic. It says it means real, genuine, true, undisputable, legitimate. That's what we want to have with God. That's what we want to have with ourselves. And that's what we want to have with others. And we can do this by renewing our mind, renewing our heart, and renewing our spirit. Now, I'm going to say a quote over again because I think it's so important. And I heard this Sunday for the pastor say it, that even those that we may not know who are saved still have something to offer because God used everyone. And King George V said this, the secret of happiness is not to do what you like to do, but to learn to like what you have to do. So, that being said, Scripture says in Matthew 19, love your neighbor as yourself. See, relational influence can have that significant impact on how we navigate through life. For every person we encounter, whether through family, friends, jobs, or acquaintance, there will be some relational impact made on each of those encounters. With that being said, the question is, how are we impacting others in our interaction or affiliation with those we encounter? No matter whether they're short or long interactions, they will still have some lower influence that has been made upon our lives as well with others. I'm sure you all can recall an event, the shooting in Charleston, basically known as the Charleston Church Massacre, where a young man who had been influenced by those who misguided him to believe that those negative things about race of others, to the point that the impact of those influences cost many other people's lives that day. However, those who survived the shooting, along with others from the surrounding areas, didn't let that waver their love for mankind. No, They came together. For the members of that church and other organizations shared in support with the presiding bishop, stating, "Let us join with the AME in prayer for the healing of the families touched by this tragedy, the families of the victims, and oh, here's the real kicker, and the family of the perpetrator." Again, learning to like what you have to do. See, it's important for us to recognize that. Let me tell you what the word says about it. You have heard, this is in Matthew 5, 43 and 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies." But Jesus said, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother, what have you done? What more are you doing for others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same?" See, it's important that we recognize that we have to learn to do those things we have to do, even though we prefer to do the things we like to do. And Jesus is telling us, even when we run into those who want to harm us, do a disservice, or even we call enemies, we are obligated to still love them. And this is what the relationship with God itself helps you to be able to do, to love someone else. As you build your relationship with God, as I talked about in previous sessions, where we get to know thyself, develop thyself, and love thyself, we begin to understand the importance of how to love someone else. So let's recap what relationship's about. From the Western standpoint, it said the relationship is a state of being or interdependent, where you're neither dependent nor independent, but you have a binding connection within the relationship with others. And then when you have that relationship with God, you have a relationship with God that means that you're receiving communication from God himself, both through his word and history. And as that relationship is built, this relationship is built comes from his son, Jesus Christ, in his teaching, from the cross, from his apostles, through his word, and oh my God, through the Holy Spirit, we'll receive power. These relationships are important because as we build them, we move towards improving that interconnection with each other, which helps us to produce and become the best God intended for us to be. So let's look at that when we talk about family, friends, and associates. Because the goal is, as we look at the scripture from Psalms 51, 10 to 12, it says, "God, create in us a pure heart. Renew a committed spirit in us. For we do not want you to cast away from our presence or take your Holy Spirit away from us. We want you to restore the joy of your salvation and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us." A willing spirit. Again, doing those things that you don't necessarily like, but what you have to do, learning to do that. Because that's going to be the difference in how your relational influence impacts other people, whether good, bad, or indifferent. And as we grow in our relationship development, we should build a stronger relationship with God and others as well as ourselves. It should help build a deeper level of intimacy with each other in these relationships. And as we continue to grow, we hope to increase in our level of caring about God's plan for us, which ultimately should help us to create, if you will, a positive way of influencing others to help them to move towards the plan that God has for them. This is significant. Many times we don't realize the impact of the influence that we have on other people. Sometimes we get a little bit self-consumed, self-preoccupied, and we lose sight. And sometimes we lose sight because sometimes we run into disappointment. Because people let us down. People hurt our feelings. People, if you will, do bad things, as we mentioned earlier. But there will come a point of time where we realize that it's not about us. It's about what God's will is for us as we go forward to help others. See, Christ didn't come here and just be content with his own self. He came for a bigger picture about his God, about his Father's will. And in the process of that, he was able to show us how we can love others despite if they do not receive us. He was still willing to go forward and be committed. His relationship with God was authentic. He was committed. He was genuine. He made that impact on our lives. He influenced our lives to be committed. So it's equally important for us to recognize that. And now let's talk about the relationships we have with others and God. Now, I would say I was privileged to see this is what I'm leading to in regards to relationship with others, but it was unfortunate because it was a tragedy. It was a loss in the family. And this young man, my nephew, if you will, lost his life last week. So I was at the home going today, and this is what I saw in its full effect. Why it's important that we build these relationships with God, self, and others, and the influence that it has on each individual we encounter, and what happens when our final curtain day comes. So what I saw was something significant. And the scripture says something here. It says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's you are defiled by the words that come out your mouth. Matthew 15:11. See, what we say has a major impact on others. What we do has a major impact on us. When I talked about communication, verbal skills and nonverbal skills, our body language, how we share with people, the words we say to others and we say with others has a big impact. Well, for the sake of this conversation, I'm just going to call him Will. He had a major impact on others. When people got up to speak about him, his legacy was powerful. Even though he was young, the church was full and the church was large. And I saw how he impacted and influenced others because the love of God was in him. He represented the fruits of the Spirit. And that's what we should do, represent the fruits of the Spirit. See, it was said that he was a kind, giving person. He was a loving person. His smile was infectious. He made a difference in people's lives, never had a bad word to say in most cases. This young man influenced others because he had a relationship with himself and with God and others in a positive way. See, when we think about the fruits of the Spirit, he created love. He showed love. He expressed love. And because his love was so powerful and the influence it had on others, they felt that joy. And when they felt that joy, they felt that sense of peace. And why did they feel that way? Because he rendered goodness, kindness, and gentleness to everyone he came upon. And because of that, he represented what you call steadfastness, faithfulness. He maintained that level of self-control. He was merciful and graceful. This is important, what we want to do as we build our own legacy. For the word says that in 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone. See, sometimes we all get a little ruffled by people, what they do and what they say, and I'm sure we ruffle others. But this is not what it's about, because that's temporary. Those are just emotional charges that got out of hand. But when we recognize the importance of what love means, it settles down. Even Jesus got upset with the tax collectors in the temple. But that didn't change the way he loved us, the way he cared about us, the way he reached out to us, the way he healed, the way he listened, the way he rendered peace. See, his relationship with God and himself was powerful. It was influential to the point that it influenced others to do the same, his disciples and all those who received him. This is what we're supposed to be about. For the word says in Matthew 19:19, love your neighbor as yourself. As I mentioned before, it is no crime to love yourself, not to the level of false love or pseudo pride, where you move into the level of narcissism, but you love yourself in a healthy way, a self-preserving way, so that you may be able to go out and help someone else. And this requires that we study God's word, understand God's word. For he's saying, all you're getting, get understanding. And as you get to understand God's word in its fullness, the Holy Spirit will help you to get clarity. As you get that clarity, as you start to put these things together, you can share with others, because it's a hurting world out here. It's a hurting world. I saw people hurting because of his loss, but there are many people who are experiencing losses right now in many shapes, forms, or fashion. So it's upon us to show people love. Show them that we can have an environment that's joyful and peaceful. It doesn't have to be the chaos we see every day, because we know Satan is busy. But it's not. We should not be deceived by his devices. But we already know that the battle's already been won. And because the battle's already been won, we already got the victory. So we can walk with our heads up, knowing that we're walking by faith and not by sight. And we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're not giving in. And the word says again in Matthew 7:12, in everything, do unto others what you would have them to do unto you. Now, I know sometimes we've been, especially in this period of time, we're getting more and more conditioned to be about me, myself, and others. But we got to let that go. We got to let that go, because Jesus didn't come here that way. He came to give and give us life and give it more abundantly. That's how we should be doing to others, giving people through our words. Because they say in the word that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we should be creating life in people's lives. And as we create it in their lives and they send it back to us, iron sharpens iron, we become stronger. We become more powerful. For God's word is true. And as we move along, we begin to understand again what he means by creating me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in us. Thus, as we begin to build this relationship with God and others, we begin to understand what God really meant when he said that we were a work of art. For in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Walk in his good work, his well design. Oh, we get so excited when we see new things come out on these phones from Apple and Samsung, and we see new outfits come out. We get so excited. But all we should get excited about the design that God has for us when he created us. There's no other you. So God knew when he designed you, he designed the best you could be. But we have a part in this. We have to continue to develop that. Because we do notice as one phone comes, they're still developing a new one. Always improving. But the real catch here is that when we become in Christ, we become brand new. For it says, you are a whole new person with a whole new life in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So the old things, the old you that you don't like, that you're steady trying to move away from. And I like to look at that. It's like looking at purified water, just constantly pouring. That's God's water. Into a goblet of poison. Poisonous wine is in there. And you'll see them merging. That's another thing. It's merging. The God's water continues to flow. Continues to flow. Watching that poison out of that goblet. And as it continues to flow, it's an overflow. And the two are overflowing, but God's word is continuing to flow. And then all of a sudden, you will see that day when we as pure as snow. But while we walk the earth, we're getting more and more closer to what God wants us to be when we study his word, developing his word. And this is a charge we have to give unto us. We are charged to go out and share this same love, this same good news to our brothers and sisters. And not just our related bloodline, but we need to develop that communication line with others as well. And then sometimes you have a bloodline and have no communication line, but you need to still keep fighting the good fight and keep praying, praying without cease, that they too will come to the awakening, the awareness, because we all had to get there. And I'm kind of reminded of the story of Moses and his lack of confidence, and yet God still worked with Moses, gave him time. And over a period of time, that purified water kept flowing through him. He got stronger. He got more powerful. He became renewed. And next thing you know, he was part of the Red Sea. And we can part the Red Sea of defeat. We can part the Red Sea of depression. We can part the Red Sea of anxiety. We can part the Red Sea of those feeling alone and empty. For we don't have to feel them, because he said he never leave us or forsake us. And the word says when we get to that point, that we become God's messenger to the world. Acts 1:18 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I know here God's word is happening because now we can reach all corners of the world. It is our responsibility as we build our relationship with ourselves, we build our relationship with God, we build our relationship with others, that we go and we share the good news to everyone who comes across our path. For this is in God's word, it says in Romans 5:8, but God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, he didn't give up on us. He didn't quit on us. He didn't say, they ain't going to work. They ain't work out. Let me move on and go back home. No, he took his life to the cross. He shed the blood for our sins that he didn't deserve because he knew the good news way before. He said, my father's out there, many mansions. The streets are paved with gold. We got to recognize the beauty of developing this relationship with God. And as we develop this relationship with God and continue to improve upon ourselves, we share this good news with someone else. I don't care if we have to share it with one person at a time. So all of us are not extroverts. Go out and speak to many. Some of us have to do it one individual at a time. But I'm a true believer that history was never changed by the multitude. It was the ones in the twosies and the multitudes followed. So it's important for us to go out and let the people know that they're loved. They appreciate it. When you see a janitor doing his job, let him know he appreciates it. Because when you open up his heart by your kindness, he may want to hear, why are you so cheerful? Why are you so kind? Why are you so giving? Why are you saying something positive to me? Because you're trying to influence him with the good news. And he'll be open to receive, or she'll be open to receive. When you see someone standing on the corner, don't just ride by him. If you can't give him a dollar, say hello to him. Acknowledge them, because that's God's child. That could be the angel that you rode past. Your influence can make a difference. The one who's standing in the corner that was homeless today can open up the doors for many to have a home tomorrow. It is imperative that we continue to develop and grow in this relationship because the influence that we have on others can be significant. And there's no reason in this modern time of information, at the drop of a hat, at the push of a button, at the blink of an eye, we don't go out and spread the good news, that we don't let the world know that they appreciate it, that they're loved. And we all make bad decisions that frustrate someone else, and heck, reality of their decisions we make upon ourselves that frustrate ourselves. So how can we have such an unrealistic expectation of others when we disappoint ourselves at times? It is time out for arrogance. It is now time for humility. It's time for us to let the world know that they are valued. And in turn, that can be reciprocated. And as you continue to let God's living water flow through you, through his word, we become stronger. We become more powerful. And we got to finish the race because the race ain't given to the swift or the strong. To the end, we got to ride it out like young Will did. He rode it out to his time. He left here at an earlier time, but I would go to say Jesus did too at 33. But look at the impact that he had on the world. And as I look at young William and all the people he touched in their lives, young, old, and different, didn't matter. He made a difference in their lives with his kindness, with his goodness, with his gentleness. This is what the world needs today. I heard a Stevie Wonder song said, love is in need of love. Love is not in need of love. Love is in need of people going out there sharing love. That's what is needed for us to go out and let the world know that they are loved. So I'm excited about going out and spreading the good news. I'm excited about the development that God has given us the opportunity here in America. In America, where everyone comes here trying to, they go through the sea, they try to get through air, they try to get through here in every way, shape, or fashion they can get here because they know here they have the freedom to express their belief in God. And that's important because when you can express what you feel about your Lord and Savior to others, that's true freedom. And we should be appreciative here in America. I always said in America, we're just inconvenient. I've been in countries where people really are starving. Starving not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, in so many ways. And there are brothers and sisters who are missionaries going out there spreading that good news. Well, we may not have that gumption to go out and go to another country, but we're right here in America, and you can go right next door, right in your house, right to your cousin, right to your uncle, right to your father, whoever needs to hear the good news. And it's not upon us to make it grow. We just need to be Johnny Appleseed and go out there and plant the seed. Feed God's sheep. So as I wrap this up, I want to say again, grow to know thyself. Develop thyself, love thyself, and love thyself so you can love someone else. And always, always continue to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love our Father in heaven, God, who is so wonderful not to leave us comfortless, but to give us the Holy Spirit so we can do this. We don't have to do it alone. As I always send out my message every morning, just remember the word Emmanuel, God is with us. And I've come to the point where I like to do this in closing. For it says in Romans 10:13, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Romans 9:10, it says, tell us that if we say with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised us from the dead, we shall be saved. So, dear God, I want to impart, say with me, wherever you are, just if you're not already saved, just take a moment. Please to appease me. But I know that, again, the power, influence, and God's word is going to change you. Say it with me. I want to be a part of your family. I want to acknowledge you that Jesus was risen from the dead, and I accept him as my personal Lord and Savior so I could be saved. So, God, I know, say that I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead and that he is alive and well. And I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept my salvation from sin right now. I am now saved. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. If you said that prayer, it's very simple. I know in my heart, if you believe it in your heart, you'll be saved. Saved from damnation. But that's the good news here when we leave this area. As I know, William is now absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when we get saved, we get all these benefits. We get the Holy Spirit. We get God's whole armor, the helmet of salvation, to protect our mind, the breastplate of righteousness, to protect our heart and keep us in right standing, the belt of truth so we know the truth and the truth will set us free. We get to walk in the shoes of peace, and we get to hold up God's shield of faith. And that faith don't have to be a big one. He just said the size of a mustard seed. And we can do all this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens with the sword of the Spirit, God's word. And then we get his guardian angels protecting us, going to and fro. And we can call upon legions of angels. We get his healing. For by his stripes we are healed from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. We don't have to accept cancer. We don't have to accept AIDS. We don't have to accept anxiety. We don't have to accept depression. We don't have to accept any of that. Because we got God who gives us all. And then he gives us the windows of heaven blessing that we wouldn't even have room enough to contain it. And he gives us that power that we can do all through Christ, all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I thank you today for listening. I hope that under the sound of my voice that it pierced somebody's heart. But no one person changed the world. I thank you. I love you. And I just believe God is just going to bless you and your family in a mighty way this week. Go forward. Believe in God's word. Study it. If you can't do it, but read one scripture a day. Let it marinate in your spirit. And one scripture a day can change your life. Anything that God's word says that is about you in growth, you become better. So I like to give you this acronym. Growth means gradually repairing the tainted heart that God has allowed us to experience with the world. But now we know he's changing that. He allowed us to do our thing. Now we are renewed by Christ's word. Again, changing is my pastor saying, change your mind. Change your life. Continue to renew your mind, your heart, and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. And we'll see you next week. Remember, it's the spirit of a soldier where we share God's knowledge and wisdom. Have a blessed day.
Cool.